Guys, it's time for some man chat.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Now, blokes, this one's for you. I'm a Marvel, DC, 80s action hero movie type of guy.
Oh, yes.
Right? So when my wife and I get a rare moment to be able to sit in the couch and it's nighttime.
You force her through Marvel.
She has seen every Marvel movie in that collection at least a dozen times.
At least we're talking to you. That's DC, but that's okay.
Okay.
These aren't hockey pads.
Anyway, just love the stuff, right? Yep, so that's my general go-to. Except something happened over the holidays. And oh my God. Netflix.
Yeah.
I am so invested in this show.
Are you okay? When I went to go say goodbye to Gabrielle, it turned into the most incredible night of sex that I've ever had in my entire life. Get it, girl? No! No.
Gabrielle has decided to stay in Paris, but there's something else behind this. I just don't know yet what it is.
I need to explain myself.
The more you say, the worse it sounds.
Which is why I have to talk to her.
Ooh, that sounded desperate.
I don't even know what this show is.
But it sounds fantastic.
Oh my God, Kimber, it's called Emily in Paris, and I am invested.
I have seen this come up on my suggested things a lot of times.
And
I'm like, Emily in Paris doesn't sound like something I want to watch. Instead, I was watching Hyperdrive,
which
is just custom cars speeding through an obstacle course.
Wrong. All right, let me walk you through this guy. Emily is an American woman who moves to France and joins Savoir, a French marketing firm. Just a small, incredibly stylish woman searching for love in a city that is ever chasing or clashing with her mundane Midwestern U.S. upbringing. Oh, Emily, how could you? How could you do that to Camille? Gabrielle is gorgeous, but come on, what are you doing? And then there's Alfie. Oh, my God, when Alfie and her got together... Oh, it was one of the greatest things of my entire life. Season 2 was just...
There are two seasons. Are there more to come?
Yeah, there has to be. I hope there's more to come, Kimber.
There's Emily in Budapest. Emily in Kiev. Emily in Minsk.
No, and the cliffhanger that season 2
Emily in Balga.
I'd watch Emily in Balga. The cliffhanger that season 2 leaves
Don't give too much. I mean, all these people who are listening right now, all these blokes that you said you're speaking to might legitimately be going... Turns out I've got to get onto Emily in Paris and we don't want to ruin anything.
Well, what I want to know is, are you already there? Blokes, what's your secret ladies binge?
The shows that might have been designed for women, but men, you're all over it.
Well, yes. To the point where, like, I was walking past the television while Liz was watching this show and just by chance happened to sit down. And it got to the stage where I was sneaking episodes when she didn't have the time to watch them.
Really? Okay, wow, you were and are invested.
Because I was happy to watch the episodes again.
Oh, God.
Because I am in love with this show.
There's got to be more of us out there, Pete.
100%. Blokes, what's your secret ladies binge?
Look, there's one called Working Mums, which I found myself watching. I didn't actually think I was that invested in it, but my wife quite enjoyed it. And I did watch far more of those. Considering I'm a bloke who hasn't even seen the end of Game of Thrones, I saw far more of Working Mums than I expected to.
That's not Christina Hendricks, is it? That's not the women
the
who
Canadian...
get caught up in the drug deal?
No. They're just working mums doing what working mums do, going through. That's just really relatable. Oh, they're just running on paper.
I'm starting to think Emily and Balga may need to get a run.
I've already started writing.
Have
it.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Also, I've sat here many times now in the last couple of minutes and let you say Balga over and over when you all know I call it Balkeith.
Oh, Balkeith. Emily and Balkeith. It's about a young woman joins a Balkeith fashion label, just a small little startup. And falls in love, not with, what was the name in Emily in Paris? Gabrielle. Yeah, Gary.
Gary.
Oh, my God. And he's gorgeous.
This has got legs.
He's soul of the earth.
This has got legs.
Yeah.
All right. Sandra, buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
How you going, mate?
Good, very good.
What's your secret ladies binge?
Grey's Anatomy and Station 19.
Right, okay. Grey's Anatomy. Station 19, I don't know. Tell us about that.
Station 19 is actually a spin-off from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, there you go.
When you love it so much. See, this is what will happen with Emily in Paris if they don't bring out that third season.
Emily
and
Balga.
You have to find the backup.
Yeah. Sandro, is Kate Walsh in Station 19?
No, she's not.
Uh-huh, okay. Because she's a favourite of yours?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Kate Walsh, mate?
She's just gorgeous.
Mm.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That helps.
Station Apparently she's 19. On a beach in Esperance.
Sandro, what draws you into these sorts of shows? Is it the medical drama?
No. Well, yes, that helps. But one of my favourite actors is actually a guy that had my surname in it.
Really? Is that what drew you to it in the first place?
Well, no. I just grew on the character, I suppose.
Mm.
Right. Oh, so the cat are peeling him off. So,
oh, Sandra, I'm sorry to hear that, buddy.
All right, mate. Good to hear from you this morning, Sandra.
Speak to you guys soon.
Cheers, mate. Ciao, have a Bella. Good day.
Ciao, mate.
See ya. Pete, Matt, and
Kimber. What I'm about to say is going to be fresh news to some people, and other people are going to go, "We've known this all along."
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're on socials and you see posts that go, "What was your first car?"
Yep.
That's data phishing, right? So don't answer those questions online. Any of those questions that go, "Rearrange the letters of your maiden name to make up another word," and people go, try and think about all that stuff is so that they can try and crack your passwords.
Right.
Right? Because you're giving away information that are special questions as security questions on other platforms, right? So generally, try and avoid it. And a lot of people just think it's a fun game and it's a bit of something to do, but it's like, you're giving away info.
Okay.
But I did see one that I was like, we can do it on air because we're not phishing your data.
Although, feel free to sign up to the VIP.
Because we know nothing about you, it's fine. But I did see this one and it made me giggle because they said on there, the highest grossing movie from your birth year is how your 2022 will play out. Oh. Now, of course, what that makes you do is go, my movies are this, and then they know what year you were born. But in the case of right now, you can tell us because it's fun. So I was like, I wonder how my 2022 is going to play out based on this theory. Turns out I looked at the top three because I thought I like the averages. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can just go with the highest. But the highest grossing film of my birth year was Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. Which made me feel a little empowered because Empire Strikes Back is a story of, like, you know, coming
striking back,
right? Right, Pete?
Well, you know it better than me. Though. It's the Empire. The problem.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you're going to go down that line, you want Return of the Jedi.
Oh,
yeah.
So really, I'm going down. Yeah. But that's a real shame because the follow-up movies were 9 to 5, so I'm just going to be working all the time.
9 to 5.
And my third highest grossing film was Stir Crazy.
Oh, that's a good film.
Big year ahead, 2022, real kicker for me. How about you guys?
Oh, I'm in big trouble.
Why?
Top grossing film of 1970, and that's right, that's when I was born, was Love Story.
Where do I begin?
That's beautiful.
No, their love is destroyed by her death. The second one is Airport, the classic air disaster movie.
Oh.
And the third one was the MASH film.
Oh, MASH film. Love MASH.
Yeah.
I love MASH, but again, you know, medical procedures in a war zone, I don't want any of that affecting my 2022. Thank you very much.
Can you try and interpret mine?
Go on.
Pete, how are you going to fare in this?
So 1985, top three grossing films. Number one was Back to the Future.
Oh.
Okay. Right?
So I don't know. I don't know how to interpret that. But anyway, Back to the Future. Number two was Beverly Hills Cop.
Okay.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy. I mean, figure that one out.
Seems sort of fine so far, right?
Number three, Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
Now, the highest grossing movie from your birth year is how your 2022 is going to play out. Now, producer Jeans, you're born the same year as me, right? So we're dealing with the same situation.
We've got the same 2022 coming up, mate.
Okay. Producer Joggers, how's your year looking?
Pretty poor. So the first one is Titanic.
Oh.
well.
Second, Armageddon.
Oh, God.
And third, Saving Private Ryan.
Oh no.
I'm going to sink, lose the love of my life, and all the rest of it.
Oh, oh. Wow. Wow. See, this is why you don't want to get your data fished.
Yeah.
No.
It's for you, mate.
Thank you, first man.
Toadfish Rebecca.
Mm.
Right, now, when I was a kid growing up, every evening for me, it was The Simpsons and Neighbours on Channel 10. And there's one moment that sticks out in my mind like a sore thumb.
Can we take this slowly, mate?
Slowly, schmoly. Close your eyes, Tony. This is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me.
Is it over, Lou?
So that was Lou.
Lou.
When they cut Tony's ponytail
That's
off.
That's right.
Yeah.
My memories of Toadfish are, why is everybody marrying this guy? Because at the end of each season, anyone who marries him ends up dying.
Yes,
that's true.
Stop marrying
but
the guy.
He was a lawyer. And I know that you, you ladies like to marry a lawyer. Hey, I'd like that, yeah.
He's not only a lawyer, but he's a real estate mogul.
Is he?
He is.
Oh, in Neighbours? Or
no,
in
real life.
Oh, okay.
So this caught my eye. 10 Merricks Beach, Balnarring in Victoria.
Okay, sounds nice.
Is his property that he and his missus owns, and it's currently on the market for between $7.5 and $8 million, and it is a peach.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my
Toadfish
God.
Toadfish Rebecca, mate.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at it.
It doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't it? Why?
It's absolutely stunning.
Well, just like Ray if you've been on a show like that for as long as they have been, you've made some money.
Well, 95 was his debut.
Yeah.
So what's that, 26 years?
26 years, yeah.
26 years of
he
Toadfish.
He may have started on what we call equity minimum. But the very next contract he signed would not have been.
What's that? What's equity minimum?
It's okay, but it's just a reasonable wage.
Right.
That's what the actors' union has negotiated as the absolute baseline wage.
It's the way that actors get paid. Otherwise, what you do is you end up in a show where they go, guys, it's all co-pro.
Yes.
So everyone shares ticket sales.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So Toadfish essentially is to Neighbours what Robert Downey Jr. is to Iron Man.
Right.
Basically,
I mean,
Marvel.
Yeah. He's one of the long-standing characters, and
But it's quite a house.
It's
We've been
beautiful.
Going through this house. How's this house? Because I can't get past the fact that it's Toadfish. You know what I mean? Like, he's an actor. He's on Neighbours.
Yes.
Like, but I can't get past the fact that it's Toadie. It's the, you know, it's the school bully. It's the tough guy. It's the bum for a little while. And sure, he's a lawyer now. But I can't get past that it's crazy.
I can't get past the fact that his house has a pool, a gym, half a basketball court, a barn, a riding area, and stables. Yeah.
Maybe he made some money out of horses.
Maybe. I mean, lawyers do like horses
they
from
do,
what I'm told.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Part of the sell from the real estate agent is that it's a short horse ride down to the beach.
Oh, I bet. It's on the Mornington Peninsula, isn't
it?
It is.
It's not too far from Chowbella Pizzeria and Wine Bar. It's pretty close to schools and public transport. It's also very close to a Richie's Super IGA.
Very handy. But what a great lesson for us all, for any young people listening out there. I know you're about to start school, but there you had Toadfish, as you pointed out, Pete, the bully, you know, the ne'er-do-well who became a lawyer. And, you know, you can just at some point settle down, mellow out and get yourself a $7 million house.
Oh, yeah. Or if you're an actor and someone says you can get this job in a TV series and you go, no, I'm too good for that. I think I've got bigger things ahead. You don't. Take the gig.
Yeah. You're not going to win that Oscar.
Take the gig.
Be like Toadie.
This is the game that brings all the boys to the yard. And they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
That one took skin off.
Did it? You okay? You want a Band-Aid?
You want some Acurachrome?
I'm so sorry, I've been practicing. All right, this is how this game works. I've got three different bits of audio here. They are montages, and they are from different years. They're made up of all sorts of things, like songs or TVs and movies or moments in time. I'm going to play them to you two. One by one, you have to tell me what year you think they are from. Close to the pin, best of three wins. Would you like the first one?
Yep.
Here we go.
Some you and I are like sisters. Hi. We're like twins.
Ooh. Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
The last one's the only one that I have any
opinion. I don't even know what that first piece of audio was.
No, twins? Was that?
That wasn't twins.
Was
no.
that, what's her name?
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
No.
Lindsay Lohan.
It was a Parent Trap.
Parent Trap, all right.
Parent Trap.
Okay.
You guys muck around. Save find tonight. Out who was in the Parent. Yeah, Eagle Eye Cherry.
Eagle Eye Cherry. I wouldn't have no idea when that thing was around. When was Clinton in power?
I don't
always.
Know. And I just watched this Monica Lewinsky thing recently on Netflix.
It was
Netflix.
Lindsay Lohan, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was about to say the year.
That would have been sensational.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh, I'm embarrassed. I genuinely watched this doco about 2 weeks ago
about the Parent Trap?
No, Monica Lewinsky hosting this thing about shame and people who find themselves being publicly shamed by others and how people take them down for no reason. And it's fascinating.
Right.
And it was all about that scandal. And I can't even remember when it was. I don't know. I'm just going to lock something in.
Go on.
Yeah, the game he's playing.
I mean, I'm going to lock in 98.
I'll go 97.
Jeez, you could have gone either way there.
Yeah,
you could have gone.
Hey, that's life,
yeah,
isn't it?
That is. You're right, mate. I can tell you, Matty, that either way you would have gone, you would have been wrong because it was 98.
Oh, yes.
Bah. Here is your second one.
Howard Stern's voice first makes itself heard, hitting the airwaves on station WWWW in Detroit, Michigan.
Working with Olivia in Xanadu was a great deal of fun.
Okay.
WWW. Dingo and the Baby.
WNBC.
Look, I'm going to go 74.
Oh, jeez. I just don't know.
Hang on a minute.
I'm going to go 76.
I'm going to go 78. No, I'm going to go 77.
Hang on, how many times do you get to lock in here?
Oh, I never said locking in. I'm thinking out loud. I'm going to lock in 77.
It's up to you if you... Because I'm going to allow it, and the only reason why I'm going to allow it...
I can't even remember what I answered now. Matt said so many numbers, I thought I was at bingo.
No, when we used to play this on WWW Detroit...
WWNBC.
Where's my elephant?
So what are we doing? God, this is loosey-goosey today, isn't it?
Tell me what it's not. So you said 76.
Okay.
And you said...
77.
Now, the reason I'm going to let this pass is because I would allow you to do the same thing if you wanted to change your answer.
Oh, no, I mean...
You're locking in 76.
Change it.
I'm good.
Do it.
Okay, she's...
I'm not going to be goaded by you throwing out numbers like you're the count.
Okay. It was 1980.
Last one.
All right, last one.
Yes.
Let's split the difference here.
Paul Walker, one of the stars of the enormously popular Fast and Furious movies, dead in a car crash.
Look at this. The Wolf of Wall Street, they call me. Look. So wake me up when it's all
over. 2014.
I have no idea.
It's been a long day.
I'll say 2013.
Without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all
about
it.
Wolf of Wall Street's one of those ones where it seems like it was current. But I also think I've got to wipe out the last 2 years because they went faster than any other years.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Oh, no. Hang on a minute. I'll go 2015.
What did you go originally?
2013. I'll go 2015.
Hang on. Didn't I go 2015?
No, you went 2014.
You said 2014.
Oh, because I write things down and then I say something different.
Yeah. What a mess.
2015.
You're going to go in 2015. Yeah. All right. Oh, this is coming down to the wire. I think this needs this. So, Matty, you originally went 2013 and changed it to 2015.
I'll tell you why, and without being silly and won't take much time, I feel like the Paul Walker passing happened when I was sort of here, started working here.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Kimber, you went 2014.
Mm-hmm.
2013.
Oh!
Kimber! Straight ahead with 3 points.
Yikes. Nice one.
Oh, I didn't know. clearly. I can't really get that upset about it, really.
I mean, that's the best answer you can give when things don't get you like, well, like, I guess I just didn't know the answer, did I?
Come on, mate, get upset. Give me some passion. People get upset for a lot less these days.
She's our national treasure, the one we all want in our family, and she's back for another season of The Great Australian Bake Off on Foxtel tonight. Please welcome cook, author, restaurateur, and all-round legend, Maggie Beer. Bon appétit,
baby. Yes, The Great Australian Bake Off. It premieres Thursday at 8:30 p.m. on Foxtel. Maggie Beer, I love you. I mean, good morning. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Good to talk to you, Pete, Matt, and Kimber too. Of course.
So good to have you here, Maggie. Now, you know, we're very excited, The Great Australian Bake Off kicking off again. Now, when we talk about music, we often say there's no tunes that haven't already been played before. There's hardly any bars of music that have been, you know, that are original anymore. How often do you try something or taste food and it feels or tastes new to you?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Okay, the thing I can say in the bake-off, there was one such thing that happened, something that was so new to me, and it was in the homegrown week, and it was when one of the bakers, Nerman, used kunzea as an indigenous ingredient that just blew me away, and I had never tasted it before.
I love a bit of homegrown myself, Maggie. It's wonderful stuff. Kimber raised the bar, and I've just lowered it for you. Sorry about that, Maggie. I it says here, and I think I'm with you. I am a sweet tooth. I've discovered my sweet tooth since I gave up the booze. But at the end of the day, I'll always go towards savoury. But often I find it a bit dry. What's your favourite savoury baked good?
My very favourite would be a fantastic... I love bread. I love bread and I love pastry. And in baking pastry, I like to use different flours, not just plain flour, so you get nuttiness and always with lots of butter, etc. But give me a beautiful galette, because you use a great pastry and then you either you can go fruit or vegetables. And in fact, yes, a galette, which is sort of like an open tart.
I must try this. A galette.
Yeah.
Hey, Maggie, when's the last time you dropped into Perth?
Oh, gosh. Look, it's a couple of years now. I mean, I've had to cancel two trips to Perth in the last few months. I'm hoping to come the 1st of June if it all goes well. But, yes, it's been 2 years.
Because we went down south to Preston Beach over the weekend. We got talking about, you know, where we've sort of travelled to in the state here. And you picked up, you know, something that a local bakery is well known for. And one of my favourites is the vanilla slice from Denham, the Denham Bakery. And I was just wondering, you, with the incredible taste buds and history that you have, if there's something you come across here in Perth when you visited where you went, oh, my God, I've tried it, it's known for it, I've got to have it. Because basically WA is the only place we can travel now.
True. Well, see, I was to come to Margaret River a few months ago and that was cancelled.
Yes.
So I can't ping something, but give me the address of a beautiful vanilla slice and as soon as I can, I'd be there.
Great. Well,
put that on your G2G pass.
Well, I'm looking forward to the season, Maggie, because apparently you're going to teach us how to make your cheesecake.
Oh,
well, it's a very different cheesecake. You just wait.
Oh, okay. I'm all over it.
It is. Can I say it's a cheesecake that I love because I'm not usually a cheesecake person. So it has a twist.
All right.
It has a twist and it was, I just loved every moment of it.
Okay.
All right,
The Great Australian Bake Off. It premieres Thursday at 8:30 on Foxtel. It's always a pleasure chatting with you, Maggie Beer. Thanks for your time this morning.
It's lovely to talk to all three of you.
Now, we've mentioned a few times amongst ourselves that we're very fortunate because we all have our families here in Perth.
Yeah.
And so when the borders, when they've said the borders are staying shut, we've been very compassionate because we understand that there are a lot of families out there at the moment who
separated.
Are just heartbroken because they're desperate to see their families again and they wanted to see the borders come down.
Mm.
So, look, we know it's no consolation because there's nothing we can do to make you feel better, but we thought, why don't we just have a light-hearted look at trying to remember why we hate flying, right? Because there's some bad things about getting on a plane and having to travel with other humans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a story that's come out of someone's taken a photo of this couple on a plane in America where they've sat down in economy, just sat themselves in their chairs, and they've got a spare seat between the two of them.
Oh, paradise.
Mm. And with that spare seat, they've filled it with an entire tray of lobsters and crabs.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say an entire tray, I want you to think of the biggest barbecue tray you've ever had, where you filled it with sausages and meat, and you know when you're doing the one tray fits all business.
Oh yeah, yeah. One of those big foil roasting dishes, basically. Yeah,
they got two of them. One whole thing filled with lobsters and crabs, other one is filled with other seafood banquety things, and maybe potentially a couple of veggies in there. But it's pretty. They mainly look like just a seafood banquet.
Oh.
And they just got on the plane and started eating it. And it's divided people because people are going, that's disgusting. How could you possibly eat that on a plane among other people who have to share that space with you?
Well, too bad. I'm eating that. That sounds great.
Well, I mean, if you're the person who's got it.
Yes.
Right, great.
Yeah.
But if you are the 300 other people who have to be in that plane with them, no.
Well, yeah, right.
No, absolutely not.
Like, it's gross. I mean, if you can't take McDonald's into a cinema because the smell is off-putting for people.
You can't?
You can't? How can Who told you that? This? Where are you living?
You're not supposed to take hot food into a cinema because that's what happens. Everybody, because really? It stinks.
I'm going to take a microwave and some fish.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been to the cinema
lately.
The lunchroom
from work.
There's like one teenager standing at the front desk before you can get to all the cinemas, like not even at the front of your cinema, checking your ticket, going, eh. That's it. You can bring in whatever you want.
Oh, if you're a total jerk, you absolutely can. the thing is, this is also a massive thing of shellfish. If you're allergic to shellfish, like, there's no way you'd be able to get on the plane like that with a big old alfoil container of nuts.
Mm.
Right? Like, that wouldn't be allowed. And the airline have said, she's not breaking any laws, so technically we couldn't do anything about it. Well, she's eating a seafood buffet in economy.
And that's not the only thing that you have to be worried about when you jump on a flight with people.
No.
No.
Right? And there's been plenty of times where I've been on a flight where the seats are a little bit too small and we're all a little bit too big. And we're all a little bit getting up in each other's spaces and touching each other, and elbows are going places they shouldn't be, and heads are resting where they shouldn't be resting, and all of that sort of stuff. And yes, it's incredibly frustrating.
When you get up to go to the toilet and you pass me sitting next to you, do I get your butt or your front?
Well, the choice is yours.
Remember why we hate flying? Remember? Just give us a reason. Just a time that you went flying and you were like, oh, that's right, that person.
I remember there was a well-known airline, which will remain nameless, that I wanted to fly. I'd never flown with them before, but I'd heard great stories about them. And I was flying back from the UK to Australia and got on the plane, got myself settled. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, my apologies to tell you that the entertainment system will be down for the entire flight, 12 and a half hours. But we will give you a wallet when you arrive in Australia to say sorry.
Made of PVC. Francesca in Kenwick. What happened?
Oh, how you going?
Good.
G'day.
Hello. Well, I was flying with my brother and his ex-wife and another family member, and I was the one that had the ticket that was put aside with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So when I sat down next to this old man who, I didn't know if he could speak English, but I'm pretty sure he could, and he'd nod and he would say hello, and then every time I'd fall asleep, he'd grab my hand or rub my leg.
Oh, what? Francesca.
No.
And I was eyeing my brother and he was looking over and he was pissing himself laughing. And I said, please swap with me. He goes, no. Now, the whole plane was full. I could not swap.
Oh.
And I couldn't say anything because, I mean, I like old people, but he was creepy.
So you didn't say anything to anyone? Like, even
him. I was too... No.
I mean, that's an upgrade right there.
Yes.
Waiting to happen.
That should have been an upgrade. I mean, I would love to go for first class, and then they would have wanted to swap.
Oh.
So my cousin was throwing me a pillow to stuff it between, like, us, so
so that way he couldn't like reach over or anything. But no, that didn't help. You and then it got to a point where he was awake and I was awake and he would still try and do it.
Francesca, man. It breaks my heart, those stories, because you realise all the times in our lives that we're taught to be polite instead of actually saying what we're supposed to say. Yeah. I hope next time we have the confidence to go, this is not appropriate, dude.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's
I was
rumble.
Only like 18 as well. And
he was
like my grandpa's age. It was just like, oh my God, what do you say? And I just couldn't. That was the longest flight, shortest flight, but the longest flight.
Oh, man. That's awful.
Thanks for your call this morning, Francesca.
You're welcome. Oh. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. Hate flying. Hate it.
Never get on a plane next to a retired masseuse. Now, Melbourne Cup Day is often the one day of the year that people have a little flutter on the horses. AFL Grand Final Day, maybe the one day of the year that you go to a barbecue and watch a bit of football, you know, and maybe barrack for a team. Australia Day, I would contest, is the one day of the year that people play, even if they don't usually, a bit of backyard cricket.
Oh, God.
Welcome here to Gravity Street, Beckenham. It's Boogie versus Dick Tedsky, as we did so often.
Got the wheelie bin in play.
Well, now, this is what this is all about. The very unique variables that happen in each and everyone's backyard. In Gravity Street, Beckenham, we had a brick barbecue, which became the Wickets.
Oh.
But because it was closer to the house, we had to instigate all these rules that stopped us breaking the windows of the house, right? So you got in big trouble for playing on the offside. There was many places where you could get yourself into trouble on the offside. So all of your runs were on your leg side. So we had to make rules like if you hit the hills hoist below where you hang the clothes, that's 10 runs.
10 runs.
Hit that on the full, that's 10 runs.
Jeez.
Hit it above that, you're out, sunshine. Because that's a risk that it's going over the fence. And in those days, we had nothing but bush behind back fence. Mm-hmm. It's now Row Highway.
I mean, in those days, neighbours used to throw it back.
Well,
didn't they?
Yeah.
Or they'd come over. Oh, guys, I couldn't help but notice you were playing a bit of backyard cricket. Can I get involved?
Well, again, very unique to everyone's situation. We had one neighbour who was very friendly and a neighbour on the other side who got quite sick and tired of the ball going over the fence. So there were big penalties for hitting it over their side of the fence.
Ah.
Did you have any unique backyard cricket rules at your place?
You had to yell, "How's that?" as soon as you got the person out if you were bowling.
Okay.
Or that person was not out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like when you play Uno.
Yes.
And if you don't say Uno straight away when you get one card, then you got to pick up another card.
Okay.
It was kind of like that. So it was like there were many times there where there were some controversial calls.
Yes.
Because somebody didn't yell, "How's that?"
You know, in hindsight, looking back, I'm realizing that the backyard cricket days set me up for basically complete lack of success in any sport because we had such fair play that it didn't matter how many runs you got or who was batting, how you were going, we all just took turns so that my brother and my sister and I all got a go.
Oh.
Everyone got, so if my brother did...
That's what's wrong with this country. Yeah.
If my brother did too well for too long, we'd be like, well, come on, Shaggy, we have to have a go now.
Oh. Well, and of course, there were the universal rules, pretty much, like automatic wicket keeper, because you could, often it was only two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you nicked it behind onto the fence on the full, you were out, automatic wicky. I want to hear about your unique rules in your backyard cricket games that were unique to your backyard often.
Mm.
Gareth is in Greenwood. G'day, mate. Oh sorry, buddy. I jumped the gun there.
No, you're good.
Gareth, you there, bud?
I wasn't working for a moment.
Yes. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you. Awesome. What were your unique rules in your backyard cricket games, bud?
The main rule, which is the most important one, is the fact that if you hit the ball over the fence, you're out straight away because the next door neighbor's dog is going to eat the ball.
Yes, you need to stop that happening, yes.
Yeah, and then we've got one backup rule, which is that if we hit one of the fruit trees that my wife lovingly cares about a little bit more than the kids, we get fined straight away.
Oh, yes. And what's the fine?
The fine is we have to pay her $1 every time we hit one of the fruit trees.
That's not enough.
The kids owe her quite a bit of money.
It is really hard to grow trees and keep them healthy and well, and $1 is not enough. She needs to up that rate.
Okay.
Ricky in Langford, what have you got?
Oh, we just had one of the normal rules, which was probably six and out if you hit it over the fence.
Yeah.
And You hit the fence on a full six.
Yep.
It bounces, hits the fence full. But we also had a couple of car tires laying around without the rim in it.
Yeah.
So you put a couple of those out. If you hit it through the tire without touching the tire, that'd be 6 points as well. So that gave us the incentive to keep the ball low without hitting it over the fence all the time.
And what if you hit the tire if it didn't go through the tire? Was that out?
No, that's just
a fielder.
That's six as well. Yeah. I want to play in your backyard because it sounds like everything you hit, you get six.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?